Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 16, 2020. 15. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or a message. Or you can do like some folks do. They actually send me an email with their prayer request in the email. I print it out. I take it with us to Sabbath service. We anoint it with oil, and we pray on it. And then if you want, we can even send you that anointed letter back, but you'd have to include your address. But anyway, you can get a hold of me. My phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone is 316-619-4886. And folks, the devil sure does work overtime to get to stop this program. Today, just before radio, my mic for some reason is not working, and so I'm doing it the old-fashioned way. Instead of talking to you over a microphone, I got an old-fashioned handset, you know, telephone in my hand, and so we're doing this by telephone. Isn't that different? Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com and a link over there that says End Time Radio Archives. Anyway, we'll have a prayer and we'll bring on tonight's guest because I'm really excited to hear what he has to say about some certain things today. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and nor our guests will. So please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight has been on with us many times before. He is most centered on watching Iran and what he thinks will happen soon. He is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the End Times of the Last Days and the Watchman Guide series, some of which include The Watchman's Guide to the Time of the End, Watchman's Guide to Revelation, Watchman's Guide to the Rapture, Watchman's Guide to End Time Repentance, and Watchman's Guide to Daniel's Prophecy. I'm not sure if he's added to that list, but you can sure find him on Amazon. Anyway, I asked him to come back on tonight because, as I say, he focuses a lot on Iran, and there was a so-called Iran nuclear deal tomorrow, and so I thought, who better to talk about this than Richard Perry? Welcome, Richard.
Hello, Pastor Dan. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. I feel funny talking into a telephone. I haven't did that in years. Yeah.
You seem to be doing well with it.
Yeah, amen. For now, my ear hasn't fell off. You know how you get with that, you know, phone up against the ear thing. But anyway, the program goes on, and I think I can hear you real good, so that's a good thing. So, Richard, did you add any more to that Watchmen series, or tell us a little bit, the folks a little bit about them so they can find them?
Yeah, well, the best way to find my books or my YouTube videos or what I'm posting on Twitter or Facebook is just to Google my name, Richard H. Perry, and you'll find, you know, I'm easy to find. Just put in Richard, the full name, Richard H. as in Harry, Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, and it'll take you to the information. You know, if you want to buy a book, my publisher will be glad to sell your book. Most all the information I've received from the Lord is on YouTube videos. I've got quite a number of them. Some of them are current event videos over the years, and some are biblical teachings and prophecy and different things. So, you know, you can find out what I've been saying, you know, over the last 10 years.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, for the record, folks, you can also find, Richard has did a lot of radio programs with us, and so if you check our archives, podomatic.branch.com, I think it is, or just go to the End Time Radio Archive link at our website, Prophecy Hour, and you can scroll down and find all those programs. So, Richard, what do you think about this wonderful deal that was passed, I guess, yesterday?
Well, it's something, as you say, I've been watching Iran for, about 8-10 years now, it seems. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about this deal. So, I tend to base a lot of you know, what I proclaim from Scripture and from what I believe I've heard from the Holy Spirit. I don't know if this deal is going to work or not. I do know this, that the next biblical prophecy to occur will occur soon, and it will be Iran's war on what I call Iran's war on the West. It's Revelation's second seal, and it basically should read the way I would say it is, you know, the leader of Iran will be given power to take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other, and he'll be given a great battle. I believe that Iran war, that second seal, red horse and rider war, will happen before Obama's out of office. In other words, you know, I've been watching this stuff for years, and to be very frank, you know, we've talked a lot, and I've thought that this Iran war was going to start a long time ago.
Within
the last, I'd say last 2 years, the Lord has shown me in his word and by the things that he's told me and by the things that I understand that now I know when this Iran war is going to happen. It will happen before Obama is out of office.
He will not leave office.
Yeah, and there's more to it than that, actually. This fits with a whole bunch of other prophecies, and I want to make it clear to people tonight. And I know in the past I've done a lot of kind of Bible studies as we've talked, but I just want to make some clear statements tonight so people understand what I've heard and what I'm saying.
Okay.
These four things have to do with the time of Obama's presidency. And he's in office for another year and a half. The next thing that will happen will be Iran will start a war that will take peace from the earth. Then, once that war starts, our creditors will create an economic crisis that will start in the United States of America. So that once the Iran war starts, there will soon be an economic crisis that will follow, that will, you know, be part of that or follow that. I don't know exactly how that works, but that will happen while Obama's still in office. And that will cause this war and economic crisis is described in the Bible as Obama stumbling and falling. And then in Habakkuk, it says, all the people in all the nations will taunt him with ridicule and scorn. So there will be an Iran war. There will be an economic crisis. Obama will stumble and fall. And while this is all going on, the parable of the 10 virgins, a parable that Christ told about the time of the end, which talked about all those that were waiting for the return of the bridegroom, all of them, had fallen asleep, and then something happens, and they all wake up. That also is going to happen while Obama is still, while his term is in play, in the next year and a half. So we've got, in the next year and a half, we've got Iran starting a war, we've got a U.S. economic crisis, we've got Obama stumbling and falling, and we've got all Bible churches waking up and realizing that the time of the end has come. Well, I just want people to know that that's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, a couple of small things. First off, folks, that we are calling this program tonight Prophecies Fulfilled in Obama's Second Term. And we have this listed. It'll be listed in the archives that way. I'm going to start from the bottom and go up. I agree with you that, if the church is going to wake up, they need to do it now. But you mentioned the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, there are so many different interpretations of that. Why do you think that most of them just don't get it right like that?
Well, that is a perfect that's a perfect segue into another thing that I think is very important for people to consider today, God's people to consider, and that is there's something mysterious about the time of the end when it comes to biblical prophecy. Now, a lot of Bible students that have studied biblical prophecy are familiar with Daniel's prophecies and something that God told Daniel when he was finished prophesying through Daniel. And it was recorded in Daniel 12:9. He said to Daniel, "Go your way, Daniel. These words are closed and sealed until the time of the end."
Yeah.
So,
amen.
There's something about God's word and prophecy about the time of the end that's closed and sealed until the time of the end. So that until the time of the end came, and you know that I believe it's already come, these things could not have been figured out. And that wasn't the only place that God said that same, gave that same message. Back in the law in Deuteronomy 32, he was talking to his people, and God said, "If only you were wise and understood what your end would be." And then he went, and then a couple of verses later, he said, "But I've kept it in reserve, sealed in my vaults." So he's something about the time of the end, he's kept sealed. And he said the same thing to Daniel. These are sealed and closed. And then there's a prophecy which, you know, I love the prophet Habakkuk because he really is a prophet for our time because his prophecies deal with the time of the end. And nobody knows that. I mean, if you go and scour all the sources for commentaries on Habakkuk, none of them will tell you that Habakkuk is a prophet for the time of the end. They all talk about Habakkuk and his time. But God in Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 2, says, you know, to Habakkuk, "Write this down so a carrier can run with it and carry the message." He said, "The revelation of this prophecy awaits the appointed time of the end." Well, now you read Habakkuk, and you can put it together and see how it applies to our situation today. But you could not have seen that. It was none of the commentaries account for it, and it's probably the most important prophetic book of our time. And when I say our time, I'm saying like right now.
Yeah,
like right now during Obama's administration, Habakkuk describes Obama as the leader of the Babylonians.
Really?
Yeah. If you read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, or read it 4 through 17, it tells you God is describing the leader of the Babylonians, and then he tells you all about him, he tells you what's going to happen to him and why it's going to happen.
Okay.
This is why I know these things are...
Let me break in. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but for the people, they're going to go, well, a lot of people, because they don't understand, like you and I do, that America is Babylon. That's what you're saying, is America is the Babylon in Revelation 17, right?
And when this thing happens to Obama, and this war starts with Iran, and it affects Lebanon, and all the things that we see happen, and it affects the U.S. economy, God's people who go to his word and pick up Habakkuk will be able to see the stuff that I'm saying is about to happen. Once they see it happen, they're going to be able to turn to Habakkuk, and they're going to see it was written before it happened. It was actually written almost 3,000 years ago.
Right.
But God knows everything that's going to happen. Now, I know that's hard for people, even people that say they believe in God, you know, to say God has inspired somebody to write something down that was going to happen 3,000 years later, and it turns out to be precisely true.
Yeah, well,
precisely true.
Well, he's already did that. People, they ignore the fact that he wrote about how Israel would go back and become a country, and
well,
they would be dead but rise again.
you know, it's easier to look back and say, well, you know, look at the prophecy that he made in Daniel about the empires of Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Those were all things that hadn't happened yet, you know. And, you know, but we look at that, we look at the Bible way too much like it's ancient history. No, I'm telling you, this history is going to come and hit you right in the face. It's going to come, and it's going to happen in the next year and a half. It could happen this year. I don't know when this is going to happen other than these four things, this Iran war, this U.S. economic crisis, Obama falling, and all Bible churches waking up are all going to happen while Obama, during Obama's second term.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. But that's what the Lord has shown me, taught me, said to me. You know, he doesn't leave me any choice but to declare this to you. I can do the Bible study, read my books. You can see how, you know, my books are all Bible studies about how God has taught me these things about the time of the end. And it was, you know, it may have been just a coincidence that I was studying very hard the time of the end when the time of the end began.
Because of course we don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences at all.
I don't, yeah. You know?
Yeah, amen. You were led to do that, and so you were open to it, and so that, you know, there. I believe that there has to be people like you, or specifically a person like you in the West, to be able to understand and point to that, because, you know, to me it's clear that he would, you know, still tell his servants so they can give warning, would he not?
Absolutely. I think here's a couple of verses we need to think about. In Amos 3:7, Yehovah, who I now believe that God's name is Yehovah, not Yahweh, just because I've been studying this recently, and I think the best Hebrew scholarship tells us the name of God is Yehovah. But so Yehovah prophesied through Amos, and he said, Yehovah does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Okay, and we have the prophets, right? And then he said this in Mark, you know, Christ, when he's talking about the time of the end, he said to his disciples, he said, be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, well, and then there's, and here's something that people can think about, because I have just made a declaration, it's the same declaration I've been making for years, but I'm just wanting to be very, very clear about it. I'm making a prophecy about four things that are going to happen while Obama's in office.
Right.
We need to write these down, because with these things, you're either going to end up saying, well, I can see why Richard H. Perry is now called why God called him a watchman. Or you're going to write these four things down, and at the end of Obama's term, if they don't happen, you're going to say, well, that Richard H. Perry is a false prophet. And he said himself that if those things don't happen, that he would be a false prophet. Now, I hate to have that think, but I just want you to know how convinced I am that God has spoken to me and given me this message to give to his people.
Let me say this, Richard. Let me say this. And this is for your benefit and, you know, for the people. I mean, it's like this. You just did and in fact, folks, the picture that's going to be on this is going to be dated. That goes on when this goes on podcast later tonight. The point is, Richard, is, you know, with a lot of ministries or ministers, they would tell you, you just committed, you know, suicide in the realm of Bible prophecy. If this doesn't come true, then you're going to be branded as just that, as, you know, as a false prophet.
Well, I'm saying the same thing. If this doesn't happen, then you would be right to call me a false prophet. But I'm not sure that this is going to happen. Now, keep in mind, God says about the false prophets that they're sincere. They believe what they say is going to happen. False prophets. Well, the real prophets also feel the same way. a real messenger of God who's been given a message by God declares that message because he has no choice, and he believes it's going to happen too. In other words, false prophets believe their prophecies are going to happen, and true prophets believe their message is going to happen. I just want to be absolutely clear what my message is.
Right.
You know, obviously the Lord's word is true. If I'm wrong, I'm a false prophet. If I'm right, I am the watchman that God said I would be, and I am one of his messengers. Because if you read Isaiah 44:25-26, Yehovah says that he foils the prophecies of the false prophets, and he fulfills the words of his messengers.
Yes, amen.
I am one or the other. I can't, there's no gray area for me. There's no place to hide. I'm either a false prophet or I'm a messenger from God.
Okay.
He never called me a prophet.
Let me break in because we got less than a minute before break time. Give them again the way to find you and everything in case some people didn't hear you at the first, and then we'll go to a break.
Okay, well, just put my full name in Google, Richard H. Perry. I have a website. It's called lastdaysmystery.info. I don't update that anymore, but it's full of valuable information.
Yeah, amen. It's a really good website. Folks, and if you listen to this in a podcast, go to wherever you found the podcast at, and there should be a link to his website. And, of course, like he said, just Google his name, Richard H. Perry, and you'll be amazed at what you'll find. And we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father's need sends us. We need your help for all kinds of things, food, clothing, all kinds of things that these people come in and ask us for. Yeah, and it's not a set thing that we do for people. We give them a relationship, and so, well, it's just like last week. I had a fellow come to me, and he said, hey, you know, I need a motel room. Well, you know, I said, my first thought to him was, well, everybody out there, you see all those people out there? All of those people need a motel room. And he says, well, you know, I have a wife, and I have a couple of kids, and we got kicked out of this house. And, you know, I said, well, you know, that does happen a lot because, you know, we make sure that we question people to find out, and we pray about it. But anyway, come to find out, he's just coming out of chemo. He's from Tennessee, and, you know, there was a lot of reasons for me to do it. And I said, well, how did you find us? And he said, well, one of the guys on the street told me, he said, the only person that can possibly help you today and give you a result out of all the agencies and all the churches in this city is Pastor Dan. You need to go over there and ask him. And so people come to us expecting a miracle, you know. And people, and it happens over and over. You know, I didn't have a lot of money, but I walked across the street at a cheap motel, and I paid for a room for him for the night. He said that the next day he could get money wired up from his family in Tennessee so that they wouldn't be without a home. But that's the kind of things that we do. We give out miracle prayers. We give out things like that. We do first aid over and over. The list goes on as what we do for people. And so that's why people come to us, health, because of love. That is the first answer. They are treated as family. Second and beyond that, we don't, like in this instance, I didn't have him fill out a questionnaire. We didn't have any set guideline or program. He just walked in the door, and he asked, and I listened to him, and I prayed about it, and we found a way to fill the need. This is why even the agencies tell all the employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are responsible, folks, to care for one for another because we are our brother's keepers. And all the donations, no matter what size, does really, really help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Richard H. Perry, and we're talking about prophecies fulfilled in Obama's second term. Are you still there with me, Richard?
Still am, Ben. Yep. I'm thinking a lot about these things.
Well,
let me repeat those for the folks.
Okay, and then I have a question that came in. That came in for you, so we'll do that first. Go ahead.
Okay. There's four things that I believe will happen during Obama's second term. Iran will start a war. It will take, the Bible says, will take peace from the earth. There'll be an economic crisis in the United States. Obama will stumble and fall, and all Bible churches will wake up and realize that the time of the end has come.
Okay, so the question that I was asked was, somebody said, well, they wanted to know what those were. I'm glad that you said them again, because they didn't hear them all. But they wanted to know what you meant by Obama stumbles and falls. He said that sounded kind of vague. What's that mean?
Well, that's kind of a biblical explanation. God says he calls Obama the arrogant one. And he says the arrogant one stumbles and falls, and nobody helps him up. And he also says about the arrogant one, it says, time for you to be punished. And if somebody is interested, that passage is in Jeremiah 50, 31, and 32. And it refers to the leader of the Babylonians as the arrogant one. It corresponds to a prophecy about the leader of the Babylonians that's recorded in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, where it says the leader, he's puffed up and he's arrogant. It says other things about him. But it talks about not that he stumbles and falls, but it says he took captive all the peoples and all the nations, but then the Bible says all of them, all the people and all the nations, will then taunt him with ridicule and scorn. And they do this because he has shed men's blood and destroyed lands, cities, and everyone in them. In other words, that, I believe, is something that the United States will end up doing, particularly to Lebanon, because that's recorded in Habakkuk, when Iran starts their war against the West. Because I believe when Iran starts their war, they'll attack the United States, probably our fifth fleet in the Persian Gulf, and their allies, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, the Palestinians in the West Bank, and Syria to the north of Israel, will all attack Israel at the same time. And then the United States will assist Israel, and we will cause astounding violence and devastation in Lebanon. But, you know, that's probably more than most people can absorb.
That's a lot to absorb. So would people want to know in relationship to the tribulation? So is this, that's them saying this, that's the start of the tribulation, or some people don't realize?
No.
This is already started.
This is very important. A lot of the church is focused on the last 7 years, and they talk about the tribulation, the great tribulation. The last 7 years is the last 7 years of the time of the end. But the time of the end, Christ said, had a beginning. It says he called it the beginning of birth pains. You know, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes, and pestilences in various places. He said all these are the beginning. Well, the beginning corresponds to the first seals of Revelation. But we're probably 15 or maybe even as many as 20 years away from the last 7 years. In other words, the time of the end is, there's going to be a lot of wars here before we get even to the last 7 years, when there's a covenant confirmed by the Antichrist. There is no Antichrist in power right now. He's alive and well, but his kingdom hasn't started. And it will start, by the way, after the Iran war, and he will be in considerable power before the third seal of Revelation, when the black horse and rider start their war, which destroys wheat and barley.
Well, you know, Richard, there's been several Bible prophecy people that you know, I have trusted over the years, and I won't name names, but I saw them do this. Instead of being in the immediate thing, you know, saying the tribulation's about to start, they just said what you said, that the tribulation is maybe 20 years away. Do you think we're having an awakening to that, or what do you think?
Well, you know, just before the show came back on, you were talking about the awakening of all the churches, the parable of the ten virgins when they all wake up. Well, and let me just point this out to some people. I really like the NIV Bible, but it's a translation by man, and there are mistakes in it, and there's a big one. In the parable of the ten virgins. In the NIV, it says, when the cry rings out, it says, behold, or see the bridegroom. That's wrong. It should be, the modern translations of like King James, New King James, the Old King James, it says, behold, the bridegroom cometh. In other words, and if you look at the Greek words there, it's very clear that the verb to come is in there, and it means that behold or see the bridegroom is coming. In other words, you don't see the bridegroom. You see that he's coming. You see the situation is such that you know the time of the end is at hand. We're in it, and he's coming. And that's very important because there are some translations that kind of make you think that when you say behold the bridegroom, you think like, oh my gosh, this must be right in the great tribulation, it's right at the end. No, it's not. It's way at the beginning. In other words, it's before the awakening occurs after the second seal. Right. And there's another reason I know that to be true is because in there it says, come out to meet him. You know, the cry rings out, see the bridegroom is coming, come out to meet him. Well, the word come out to meet him doesn't mean go out on your front porch, look up, there he is, and meet the Lord, you know. No, right. The word is exerchromai, which means go abroad, flee, go from here to there. In other words, get out of here and go somewhere else. It's the same word that God used in Revelation 18:4 when he tells my people, come out of mystery Babylon the Great, so you don't suffer her plagues. In other words, he's actually telling his people to leave Babylon, you know, and you got, of course, then you got to know who she is,
right,
before she's destroyed, because God doesn't want his people caught up in that. Just like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted Lot out of there before he rained down, you know, fire and brimstone on Sodom. Well, it's also interesting that God says he's going to destroy this end-time Babylon like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that for just a second. You know, now I believe, as well as you and a lot of other people, that America is mystery Babylon, and because of those reasons that you say. But isn't it astounding now how right now, if the homosexual agenda gets their way, which it seems like they are, you know, preachers look like they could be put in jail. That it's going to be, if you even speak against a homosexual, you'll get arrested. I mean, there is a really wicked path. What else is this Supreme Court ruling going to do? Is it going to allow them to marry, end up marrying beasts, or what? What do you think about all that?
Well, it's like, you know, I find all these things unbelievable. We've got a president of the United States that supports, you know, abortion on demand. In other words, he's more pro-abortion than anybody of his predecessors, you know, and he's like doubled down on abortion. And that's one of the main things that's really making God angry, you know, because he says his purpose is to destroy Babylon, and he says because of his temple. Well, his temple is his people.
Right.
And any aborted baby is one of God's people because he knits them together in the womb himself. In other words, God says, I knit you together in your mother's womb. In other words, and if somebody were to abort a baby, you know, they're killing one of God's kids.
Right.
You know, it's the greatest evangelistic outreach ever occurred, but we're doing it on the blood of the United, you know, that's on the hands of doctors in the United States of America, with all the abortions that we've done and all the abortions that have been done around the world because of our leadership, you know? In other words,
right.
God's mad at the United States principally, I mean, lots of reasons, principally, in my mind, because of abortions.
Right.
Judgment
Amen.
Is coming. Judgment
yeah, absolutely.
Is coming.
Absolutely. There has to be a calling for that. I mean, you know, he's always judged nations because of killing of innocent blood, you know, of children, you know. That's just, it's just amazing that he has been so long-suffering and held back for so long, because we do promote and fund abortion to the nations, you know.
Absolutely. That was one of the first things that Obama signed when he became president. Was allowing federal funds to be used overseas to perform abortions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Not to wander off the track here too far, let me say one other thing about this parable of the ten virgins, because it says all, the wise and the foolish together are all asleep. Something happens, there's a cry. And that cry, by the way, I believe comes from Babylon, and it's recorded in Jeremiah 51:54. The cry comes from Babylon. But that cry wakes up all the churches. In other words, they're all asleep, they're all awake. Today, all the churches are asleep. When this thing happens, you know, the Iran war, the economic crisis, then all the churches are going to wake up in shock and awe. And people need to realize that God has to wake his people up before he destroys Babylon.
Right.
Because, you know, he would be remiss if he allowed the destruction of Babylon that he describes, like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, which is basically a nuclear war in our time, and he hadn't woken up his church yet, his churches. So, no, he's going to wake up his churches, and he's going to tell his people to come out to meet him. In other words, leave before he has Babylon destroyed. It's God's purpose and plan to destroy end-time Babylon. You know, but
right.
that may be 7 or 10 years from now. The thing I'm telling you about is, you know, nobody would believe that if this Iran war doesn't happen. If what I just said about Iran's going to start a war on the West, there's going to be an economic crisis, Obama falls, and all Bible churches wake up. If those things don't happen, then you can forget all about anything I might have said about Babylon.
Well,
but this stuff has to happen so that God's people in Babylon, and there are still a few, you know, that they need to wake up and realize that, you know, the seriousness of the situation. They first need to repent. And then they need to obey God and get out of here.
Right, right. Well, you have to be pretty confirmed in faith to be putting this kind of stamp on it, because, you know, somebody said, well, those were kind of vague. Not really. To me, that's not vague at all. Iran starts a war with the West. Then the U.S. economic crisis. Well, we are looking. Right now, we can see the beginning of the crisis. Go ahead.
Let me do this. You know. Again, understand that what I have comes from the Word of God. I'm not making these things up. I mean, almost anybody could say we're going to have an economic crisis. You have to be crazy not to see that coming. You know, it's inevitable. But nobody knows when it's going to happen but me. I know it's going to happen while Obama's still president.
Right,
the economic
right.
crisis is going to, and it's not going to happen before the Iran war. It's going to happen after the Iran war starts.
Right.
Because the Iran war is the cause of it. You know, our creditors get mad at us and they stop loaning us money, I presume. But anyway, what was I going to say here?
Right.
You know, it's important that we see these particular events, and I want to just, I named four, and for anybody that's out there taking notes, which is, that's good, I commend you for that, I'm going to give you the Bible verses for these four things, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Not only the way I say it, Iran's war on the West is actually Revelation 6, 3, and 4.
Right.
Revelation 6, 3, and 4, the rider on the red horse. Okay. The economic crisis is Habakkuk 2, 7. Your creditors will suddenly wake up and make you tremble. Habakkuk 2, 7. Obama falls, Jeremiah 50, 31 and 32. All Bible churches wake up. All those that are waiting for the bridegroom to return all wake up at the same time, and that's described in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 7. So there's the script. There's scripture on all these, and you gotta know a lot of other scripture to see how they all fit together. I mean, you know, God right. just didn't show me those four things. He's shown me everything. You know, the books that I've written, you know, he said, I've told you everything. I see from the first seal to the seventh seal. I see from the beginning of the time of the end all the way to the return of Christ. I see how the trumpets fit in. I see how the bowls of wrath fit in. I see how all of Isaiah's end time prophecies fit in. And Daniel's prophecies fit in. I've got a book on the Watchman's Guide to Daniel's Prophecies and Revelation. In other words, each of my books is coming from a different angle, but they all tell the same story in that they all they're from a different vantage point, all talking about one time of the end. There's only one time of the end. There are no end times. There are last days, but there's only one end time. And we've already entered it, and we've got three decades to go before Christ returns. I'm pretty sure that Christ cannot return until after 2032. And I simply believe that because Hosea says, after 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will restore us. Well, 2 days is 2,000 years, and he left in 32 A.D., which means 2032 will be 2 days after he left.
Right, right.
I mean,
yeah,
I know
that's
way too much. I know I overdo it because the Lord has pumped so much in my head. I just start spilling it out, and I don't know when to stop.
You don't know when to stop. Well, I don't believe that you gave us too much information. Just like that, I was getting ready to ask you what makes you think 2032, and you gave the answer, because after 2 days, and you gave the answer.
Yeah.
And so that's not too much information, Richard. Not at all. Absolutely.
Well, you know, trouble is I talk to people in church, and Dan, you know, you're one of the few that I think actually reads the Bible, because most, when I talk to Christians, I'm shocked. And almost and frustrated to the level of biblical ignorance of people in church today. Now, I blame that on the people themselves, but I also, you know, give credit where credit's due. The shepherds are not talking about the time of the end of the second coming. They're hiding it because it's scary and it's controversial, and they're afraid they're going to lose one member or two members. Heck, they're afraid that they're probably going to lose most of their members if they were to talk about it.
Well, you're right, absolutely. If they don't get the soft message that they hear, there's so many churches. You know, when you're in a bigger city, they can just go down the block and get whatever, I'll call it flavor of ice cream that they want, you know. They can get whatever they want. Now, you know, we at, you know, at Messiah's Branch, we open the Bible and read the Bible, you know what I mean? And if it says this, that's what it says, and that's what we talk about, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but I agree with you. The level of knowledge for the Bible with people who proclaim to be Christians is just like almost non-existent. All they know is the few words that the pastor has told them on Sunday morning, you know, or maybe Saturday or whatever, and that's it. They don't get into the Word any further than that. We, on the other hand, we reread the Bible over and over and over. Well, Richard, we really run out of time. You got any, we'll call it final words. And by the way, if you got something else that you want to explain to the people, let me know. Send me an email, and we'll set up another program later. But you got about 30 seconds to say goodbye.
Okay, I would just like to say this. You know, I post things every day. I see them on the news, updates. I put teachings and stuff on my Twitter and Facebook. Friend me on Facebook, Richard H. Perry. I'd be glad to be your friend, and then you could get all my updates, and you'd know what I'm watching day by day, because we're in a day-by-day situation. I haven't put up a YouTube video in a couple months. You know, I still put them up, but, you know, if you really want to know what I'm watching, friend me on Facebook.
Right.
Richard.
Right.
Richard H. Perry.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that. I have you on Facebook. Richard H. Perry on Facebook. That's a real good way. Well, look, Richard, thanks for being on with me. And it was actually short notice because I like to give somebody about 5 days ahead of time. But, again, brother, you're welcome back anytime if you want to add to this conversation. It seems like this is just a start of something. You got a lot more to say.
I think we'll be talking soon.
Okay, well, all right. Well, you be blessed, brother. Bye-bye, and we'll talk
you
again.
Too.
All right, shalom. Well, folks, Richard has been studying the Bible for quite some time, you know, and while I say that he and I agree that America is Mystery Babylon, I base that on a lot of things. And, you know, I could be wrong. I'm not saying that America is Mystery Babylon, thus saith the Lord. You know, I could be wrong, very much so. What I want to challenge you to do, and what I've been trying to challenge you to do with this radio program, is to get that Bible of yours out, get on your knees and pray, and then ask the Father to reveal to you as you read the Bible for yourself and see what it says. Do remember when you read your Bible that the Bible is a Middle Eastern book, and you should read it from the point of the view of the people that wrote the book. Okay, remember that there is only one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, and that is, thus saith the Lord, is the only way to the Father. Well, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That, for sure, is like praying for Messiah to return, because there will never be any real peace until he does return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.